thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure, Steve.
We're going to talk about the white paper you have. It's about GCPL and the 21st Century Library.
Sure.
The first thing I wanted to ask was this as a paper to put out.
Well, there were some comments from people that they didn't really understand fully where we were going as an organization. And so the real impetus was to create a document that would provide a blueprint, not to be prescriptive to say that this is exactly how it's going to be, but rather to show them the kinds of things that we're doing and we're working towards and the reason behind that. So that was really my reasoning behind sitting down to write this document in the first place.
GCPL was obviously, I think, primed for renewal kind of after the bad economy and demographic changes happening
right,
in the county. Is
right.
that did you see that as a challenge when you came on as director, and is that something that's been a good part of the job for you?
Sure, yeah. I think that, you know, we'd been through some bad times. There have been several years of budget cuts, a lot of economic problems. And, you know, sometimes you have to hit bottom before you can go up. So it seemed like a good time to step in, to look at things with fresh eyes, to really try to revitalize the library, but also to do it in a way that would be cost effective. I think part of the lesson of this is we can't keep doing business the same way. And if there's a way to streamline or automate certain processes, we want to do that, not to reduce the human element, but to get rid of things that are redundant so that the human element can be deployed where it's the most efficient and effective in terms of direct customer service.
Yeah, that's how we usually explain it in the branches, is that when people say, oh, well, I happen to your big desk, it's, well, this is to better serve you. This is to better be
right.
able to engage with you closer and not have to have this sort of barrier between us.
Right. And like with any change, not everybody is going to enjoy that or welcome that. But the goal is actually to provide a higher and better level of service, to meet the customer directly at the point of need. And I think in the long run, as people get used to it, they'll really like it better. And most people already do. The overwhelming majority of comments that I get are positive about the changes.
Yeah, it is in the branches as well. I mean, most people, they're sort of a shock to me when they first walk in and see that it's all different. But then it's like, oh, well, especially once we have a conversation with them, it's much better. They're easily convinced of the new model.
So. Right, right. I think so. And I think that's just one part of it. Of course, removing a desk and changing technology is one thing. Changing the human mindset is something else. And that's really the ongoing struggle that we all face. I know people get comfortable, they get used to doing things a certain way and operating under a certain set of rules, and now we're kind of throwing all that out and saying, well, we're going to start from fresh. So that takes some adjusting to. But I think if people really think about it, consider what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish, they'll see the benefits of the new service model.
So some of the big focuses that going forward are education and lifelong learning.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of the staff got the idea from Valerie Gross a couple years ago at Staff Day, kind of kicked off some of that, but we're not doing it really the same way that they're doing it there, but we are having an education focus. Is that something that you see as a big part of libraries going
forward?
It
is, and I think it's important to realize that when I bring in a speaker like a Valerie Gross, I'm not necessarily saying that we're going to carbon copy everything that person does, because what they do is very successful in their particular environment and situation, which may or may not be replicable here in Gwinnett County, Georgia. So that's the first kind of caveat to keep in mind. But certainly education and lifelong learning are going to be a major focus of the library going forward. We are an educational institution. We want to focus on education. And I think that's really how we can best demonstrate our value to the community, as well as providing services to people in need. And I think that dealing with those populations that face socioeconomic challenges or mobility challenges is going to be one of the major focus going forward.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up too, is that part of the new service model is also getting us out of the building. So it's automating these tasks so we can have fewer staff in the building and have people out into the community. Can you talk about that part of the service
right.
model?
Right. Outreach is going to be critical. I mean, if people can't get to the library or have difficulty coming into the library, we want to bring the library to them. We want them to be able to find the library wherever they need it, whether it's virtually online, whether it's coming to an outreach event or program, or whether it's coming to one of our brick and mortar buildings. All of those things have a place. But we really need to be more active in terms of reaching out to the community, being involved with community groups and organizations. And that's how we can really strengthen the ties between the library and our citizens and ensure that A, we're doing our job, that we're doing our job of serving the community, and B, that the library itself will remain a strong and viable institution for many decades to come.
And a key part of that is working with some new partnerships that we've got. I mean, a big one is the one with the school system, but we've also got some partnerships with Goodwill, Primerica, that you work with the Chamber of Commerce. How does that fit into the...
Well, we can't do it alone. And what we, rather than us trying to go out and replicate everything that everyone else is doing, it's better to partner with organizations that are already doing these things but need our, can benefit from our expertise, our network, and our prestige in the community. Goodwill is a good example. Their main focus is on workforce development and job creation and finding employment for people. Well, that's a good fit with what we're trying to do. We don't need to go out and as some libraries have done, hire our own in-house job coaches and do all these things. It would, first of all, it would be prohibitively expensive for us. Right. And secondly, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. Let's go out there. Let's work with existing community groups and organizations. And when we work together, we can have a much more powerful impact than we can have if we're each working individually in our own lane.
And one of the things you talked about was also keeping up, obviously, what we've got going now. We've got the physical buildings, the virtual thing. And with, on the virtual end of it, we've got our new customer contact center coming up. I know that really hasn't launched yet, but what's your idea behind that?
Well, part of it is to centralize a lot of these functions so that you know, Ask GCPL and all the different, the chat functions, everything, all can be centralized at one location. So we're expanding the staff there a bit. We're going to make that a more autonomous entity with its own manager so that they can better serve the public and also to provide a more consistent quality of service. But at the same time, that also has the effect of freeing up branch staff, again, to focus on outreach, on programming, on community service. And that's really where we want the emphasis to be going forward.
Right. And that'll be located in our new Lilburn branch.
Right. That'll be located in Lilburn when that branch opens in mid-October.
And is there anything else about the new Lilburn branch that you want to talk about? Anything, any kind of new way that they're doing things there? I know working with the city kind of behind the scenes was a big part of that, but anything that the customers as they come in will see that's different about that building?
Well, of course, I mean, one thing is that it's built with no desk from the beginning, so they will come in and there will be no desk there. It's going to have, a designated teen space as opposed to kind of the add-on teen spaces that we've had in some of our buildings in the past. And some more small study rooms. So there are going to be even bigger changes in our new Norcross and Duluth branches. When I came here, this one was already pretty far down the design process, so it doesn't fully reflect all the things that I have in mind for the future. But I think it's going to be a very cool facility and have some neat features. Of course, it will also be the location of the Customer Connect Center as well, as we've already mentioned.
Right. And you talked about where, in your paper, you talked about where Primerica has helped fund the Technology Center at the new Duluth branch.
Correct.
That
will be coming. Mm-hmm. So. Right. And some of these, with the new branches, we'll also be looking for sponsorships and money to come in to enhance those sections of the library.
So one of the things that's key to this, we've talked about a little bit, but is that we have to look at everything that we do and redo it and figure out if we're doing it the best way. The good quote from your paper is the failure is an option. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't want to just kind of haphazardly do things, but you can try new things and see if they work. And if they don't work out, as long as you kind of were good intentioned and tried hard, it's okay if it doesn't work out.
Right.
Go back and learn from that and rethink that.
Right. As long as we learn from our mistakes, there's no shame in making mistakes. Now, if we repeat the same mistakes over and over, then that's a different matter.
Right.
But not every program, not every initiative, not every outreach event is going to be successful, and that's all right. But then we need to take that knowledge, take that information, learn from that. Maybe we tweak it, we adjust it, we try again. If it still fails, then it's probably time to move on to something else. We don't want to spend a lot of time beating our head against a wall. But it's okay to try new things and new approaches to delivering services because that's the only way we're going to grow and learn as an organization.
Right. And it's also the idea of when we look at how we do something, it's not, that's how we've always done it. It's not a good excuse for continuing to do it that way. You want to rethink things and make sure you're doing it in the most efficient way, that maybe what worked 10 years ago doesn't work now.
Right. I mean, we might have developed processes and procedures that were perfectly fine for 1995, but they don't work at all today. Right. Or we may have, sometimes things become what I called received wisdom. Someone thinks that they know and they put out a certain idea of how things should be. And it just becomes kind of a rote thing. I mean, one example is the weeding lists. I mean, that we've been, you know, weeding away at the collection as though our materials budget was still at a much higher level than it in fact is. And so I put a stop to that because I want us to rethink how we're doing weeding, how we're maintaining the collection. We need to stop the decline in our collection size. Otherwise, we're not going to have any materials that people might want. So that's just one example, but there's many different things that we need to look at in that way and determine if those procedures are really the best, if they're really serving the community, and if they're really the most efficient way of doing things.
Right, and that's the kind of decision that you would make at your level, but then at the branch level and the department level, we can look at those smaller processes that you wouldn't bother with, but, and do stuff like that.
Right, whatever things you all are doing on a day-to-day basis, every one of those should be evaluated, reviewed, thought about, considered. And the first question is, you know, why are we doing this? Now, sometimes the answer is, well, there's a legal requirement, a regulatory requirement. And if that's the case, then you stop there. That's fine. It's something that we have to do. But in many cases, what you'll find is, well, we're doing it this way because, you know, Joe Smith back in 1986 set it up this way. And that's not a sufficiently good reason. We need to evaluate the underpinning about it. Right. And then even if it is something that's necessary to do, is there a better way to do it? Is there a more efficient way of doing it? Whatever it might be, displays, it might be programming, it, you know, could be a variety of different things. And now it's going to include looking at the collection in each branch as well.
Right. One of the great quotes that I think you have in here is that the real goal of librarianship is not great libraries, but great communities. And part of that is you talk about the social innovation hub that the library can, that people often say, well, we should be at that table. We should be talking about that, but maybe we should be the table that people come around.
Right.
And we should be the hosting place for these conversations. And being that host, then we're actually part of that conversation as well because we're the host. But that's more of our role as sort of collaboration.
Correct. And we're the goal is not for it to be all about the library as an institution. It's about the community that the library is serving. The library is part of that convening, it's part of that social innovation, it's part of that outreach to the community, and that'll only make it more valuable. It has the effect of increasing the value of the library to the community, but that's not the goal. The goal is to build a stronger, better, more functional, more stable community and to address real problems that the community may be having.
Okay. And the last thing I wanted to ask was, that question kind of feeds into it, I think, of as libraries change, you know, we can point at a building and say, or point at a structure and say, that's a library. You could say that from 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. You could say it 100 years from now. What do you think it is at that core of what a library is? Because, you know, we're not necessarily a warehouse of books, but what makes us a library as opposed to a community center, as opposed to something else?
I think what makes us a library is our expertise and the way that we communicate and share that expertise with the people that we're working with. Yes, there's tons of information. Yes, there's tons of books out there. Now, what we're doing as librarians is we're managing that torrent of data for people. We've gone from an environment of an information scarcity in the pre-internet era to an information superabundance, but not all that information is equally valid. So we're like navigators. Our job is to help people navigate to find the best information that suits their needs, whether that's educational, whether it's just information that they need, whatever it might be. And so that's what I see us as, a team of experts whose job is really to help our customers, our citizens, navigate through all of this and get the answers that they need to overall build a better community.
Yeah, whenever people say about the, you know, oh, the internet's here, you don't need libraries anymore, but it's the opposite, that now that there's all this information, you need us even more to help navigate what's the good stuff.
Well, and there have been many predictions of the death of the library. You know, back when television came along, that was supposed to be the death of the library. Then video recording was going to be the death of the library, and then the internet, and now ebooks. But none of these things have killed off the library, but the library itself has to grow, it has to change, it has to adapt, like any living organism. And that's how we can best serve our community, is by being a part of it, being active in it, being involved with the people that we serve, and letting them know that we're here for them and that we're here to support the overall goals of the community.
All right. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you very much, Steve.